I really just wanted to start and begin by thanking everybody for coming out. I know that the draft is big. Everyone's excited about this opportunity for the Browns to get better. I know we are here internally. With that, I really wanted to thank the scouts. We have guys that are on the road. You know, the draft is a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week, 365 a day a year job for a lot of our scouts, specifically those guys that are on the road. So I definitely wanted to definitely make a comment that I appreciate the hard work that they've put in. Specifically, I'm going to name a couple guys just because I think they went above and beyond the normal scope for us this year. And Chisholm Opara and Bobby Vega both stepped up tremendously and did, I'm going to say, a yeoman's work as far as what they were tasked and what they were able to accomplish this year. Definitely demonstrated that they are frontline scouts and guys that can really make a difference in this organization. I also want to I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Jimmy Haslam. He's definitely given us the resources and put us in a position to have success with all of his support. He constantly ends every meeting that we have with what else can he do to support us. And that appreciation from my perspective doesn't go unnoticed. The scouts are definitely very appreciative, and our coaches as well, who have all had insight into this process, worked through countless hours of meetings, studies, interviews, and time spent with players to try and unearth the right information for us to move forward with. So definitely wanted to extend those thank yous to the people that are involved. So with that being said, what questions does everyone have? I'm open to answering.
There's a report out this morning that Vince Young is in today with you guys for a physical and that he will participate in the mini camp this week.
That is 100% true.
Tell us about your interest in Vince and what you think he may still have.
The interest in Vince is that he's been productive. He's had success in the National Football League. We wanted to take the opportunity to get a chance to see where he was, see what we had been kind of following him through the offseason, and he had been doing some things that kind of caught our eye and made us kind of take note and wanted to see what that looked like in his own time frame. So when the opportunity was right, mini camp seemed to be the appropriate time. Then we brought him in, and then this may get some ears. He's not the only one. That makes it too easy. If I tell you guys all the information, then it's not a secret anymore. But no, Tyler Thigpen will also be here as well.
There's so much emphasis, Ray, on the quarterback position heading into this draft, and I know you guys have talked to probably a dozen of them or more, the college kids. If you stay at 4 and assuming that, are one of these quarterbacks worthy of the number 4 pick?
That's interesting, because if I say yes, then people would say or make the assumption that we're going to take a quarterback at 4. If I say no, then they're going to make the assertion that we're going to pass on a quarterback. So I'm going to plead the 5th. Now, I would say there's every draft board in the National Football League is different. We have players on our board at a variety of positions that we do think are worthy of that pick. And, you know, it just comes down to what happens in front of you. You know, there may be somebody there that you think is worthy, and he may not be available when it's our turn to select. So I think inevitably for us it's best to stay quiet as to who's graded where and where those guys really sit on our boards.
Even from our standpoint, it seems like there's still a ton of uncertainty with 1, 2, and 3. Is that the way you still see it?
No, I think at least from internally, I feel like 1, 2, and 3 are starting to shape up in my mind. I do. I think there are, I would say, 5 options. I think go 1, 2, and 3. And so I think I'm starting to narrow it down, at least in my head. And again, it's a speculation game at this point. You don't really know. I mean, I'm not in anybody else's building. But inevitably, you start to kind of slide down the scale of what are those options and what do they look like and what teams may be considering based upon the information that we have.
Can you say, Ray, after your meetings with Johnny Manziel, whether you believe that he's all football or do you have any concerns about him as a person?
As a person?
Or, you know, as a dedicated football player?
I don't think I have any reservations with who Johnny is. We had a lot of conversation, spent a lot of time with him. He's a good young man. I think, the interesting part about Johnny is that, much like a lot of us, you don't get a handbook for how to operate in certain instances. So when you go from being a kid from Tyler, Texas, to being Johnny Football and winning the Heisman Trophy really quickly, they don't hand you a manual and tell you how to handle the media swarm, how to handle paparazzi, how to handle people coming up to you at dinners. And so he would tell you very candidly that it's probably not how he would have written it up now that he's at the end of it or getting towards the end of it, his college career. But you live and you learn. So that being said, I do think there's good things ahead for him. It's just a matter of how does he handle that when he gets to his new destination.
What do you think of him as a player?
What do I think of him as a player? Again, exciting, electric. He's dynamic. I mean, you look at what he is as a football player. I mean, the guy turned a lot of heads. He went to the SEC and was productive. He won a lot of games. And there's things to definitely be excited about. Now, the questions that everybody wants to talk about is he big enough? Is he going to get hurt? Is his arm strong enough? You know, and again, he's different. I mean, he's not the quintessential guy that everybody looks at and points to and says, this is exactly how you draw it up and this is the packaging that you want. But again, like to me, that speaks to a lot of what Johnny has been his entire life is different. It's not how you generally think about playing the position and being effective, whatever would say, from the pocket. But the guy has definitely been a very good college football player.
Ray, the common traits of Vince Young and Tyler Thigpen are mobility. Is that what Kyle Shanahan is looking for at that position?
I think it's a piece of the puzzle. I wouldn't say that it's the top piece. They both are mobile. They both are very good athletes. They both have had relative success. I know Vince would easily say probably more than Tyler. But, that's a good piece. I think Kyle would tell you that he likes a quarterback that is mobile. The offense definitely is going to require the quarterback to do different things, throw on the move, play outside the pocket to some degree. And so, I think that's a fair assessment.
Ray, at this point, you have a choice at four that you want the most. That you know who the guy is and you're all set, you know, assuming he's there. Is there a guy?
Absolutely. The question is, do I get a chance to take him?
And if that guy's not there, are you more likely to trade down?
I wouldn't say I'm more likely to trade down. I think that anytime you talk about trades, that you got to have a partner, you know. And then you also got to have players that you want at the spot that you're going to. So I'd say it this way. If there were five guys that I really loved, could I really trade to six? I'd have to hope that somebody else liked somebody in their top five or six that would push one of the guys or two of the guys to me that I thought could be or potentially be available. So I'm definitely not going to answer that question. We're going to avoid that one 100%. But I will tell you that there's always it's a game. It's a game of figuring out who you like, where you think you can get those players, and then trying to find and use the ammunition that we have to put ourselves in position to take the best players.
How many GMs will any GM, on average, will you speak to within 24 hours of the draft, talking trade or just talking whatever?
How many other GMs
do you think you'll talk to in the last 24 hours?
In the last 24 hours, I'm going to say 8 to 10. The last week, I'd say all. So that last week will be spent having those phone conversations, deciding who's where. Because the interesting part about it is that we're not close to certain teams in the draft, and it would take a yeoman's effort to get to certain spots. But then you never know what their temperament is and what they're doing, and they may trade with somebody else and end up right beside you. So having those conversations on the front end definitely prepares us in a way that allows us to be prepared in the instance that now, instead of looking at the draft, how it lines up right now, you have to look at it in total sense if you could be beside anybody at any point in time.
Do you have a sense whether or not you will have offers to trade down from the number four pick? And how do you weigh the pieces that you would get, the extra draft picks versus maybe missing out on one of those top guys that you love?
I do have a sense. I do. I'm starting to formulate some of those opinions as to who's interested, who may be interested, and then the question goes back to the original one, which is who's available. Again, nobody wants to trade up if their guy's gone. So that's the hard part. The interesting piece for us, though, is really having a plan for what that could look like, what the trade would look like on the front end, so that when you get to the moment, it's not you trying to negotiate what that looks like. Just in a short period of time. So you have some of those conversations to kind of, you know, prime the pump or set a standard for what the expectation is. I think when you look at the totality of is one player better than this player and another player, you got to consider those options. You got to consider, we're talking generic terms, if there's blue players in a general sense are considered the elite players in the league or elite players in the draft, if you will. Below blue, there's generally red. So is one blue player worth two reds? It's a good debate. It's a great question. I would then tell you it depends upon what positions they play. And so the question is, can you get the right guys for the Browns is what we're really focused on. And it's not a one-year reclamation project. It's not going to all be done when the draft ends. We're going to look at our team and say, guess what, guys? We got 53 of the best guys in the National Football League, you know, bar none. Now, we like our team, and we think we're well on our way to getting where we want to go. But as it stands right now, the more pieces you can add and the better those pieces are, the more excited we'll be as a team and the more excited the city will be behind what those guys' names that are finally associated with those picks are.
What's the criteria? You obviously also have the number 26. What criteria do you use to determine whether or not you want to move up from 26?
That'll depend upon who's on the board and the value that we have associated with that player. So if there's a guy, again, generalities, at 15, 16, and we got to go up 10 spots, what's that cost look like from our perspective of what do you have to give to get there? And then two, is that a player that we really can't live without, or is there a player in, we'll say, similar value range that we're going to get at 26? And if that's the case, then what's the point of moving if we're happy with both instances? Excuse me.
Ray, how do you evaluate Bridgewater having, say, a bad pro day with the no balls versus film versus, and just kind of what you think of him?
Teddy's a good college football player. Definitely, I think he's had the burden of dealing with answering the questions of the differences between his pro day and his performance. Oddly enough, I think there's a lot of media speculation that he was the top quarterback going into the offseason. And so it comes down to guys in my position of deciding of do you hold on to the tape? Do you hold on to a private workout? Do you hold on to his pro day? And all of those pieces kind of factor into it. But again, it really comes down to how does he play football. The analogy that I keep throwing out is if we went outside and shot basketball and I can't hit a shot, I just can't buy a bucket, I can't make a layup, I can't really dribble, I dribbled off my foot twice and it's gone out of bounds. But then every time we play, I score 30, have 10 boards, and then 5 steals. Do you want me on your team? Or are you going to pass me because I couldn't warm up right? So, you know, that's the way I look at it, is that it really comes down to how does a guy play football. Go ahead, Tony. I'm sorry. Tony was okay, – we had kind of made eye contact. I'm sorry.
Both of these quarterbacks, Young and Thigpen, were available last year at a time when the Browns really needed a quarterback because of circumstances. You were here. What was the conversation about these two guys like last year?
Again, when you talk about any one player and him fitting in a place, is styles make fights. You know, if a guy doesn't fit with a potential coach or scheme that we're operating before, then those guys get passed over. And so now that there may be an opportunity for a fit, you tend to be a little bit more aggressive or follow guys a little differently. So inevitably, you got to find guys that fit what you do and then ask them to do those things.
Ray, what's the value of pro day?
The value of pro day?
Yeah.
Depends on who you ask. If you're asking me,
I'm asking you.
Pro days are important. When you see pro days, we have all the films. I have every single one that either I did or didn't go to. You guys speculated me out being all over the place. And, the reality is, I've watched a ton of them. I've watched them. I've seen guys perform. I've seen guys perform in ways that some look good, some don't look so good. And inevitably it's a piece of the puzzle. It's not the be all end all. It doesn't tell you whether a guy can play or not. You know, it's just another piece to try to confirm what you think you saw on tape, and that's what you utilize it for. It's the combine. It's the combine used in a way of some of the things that they ask guys to do don't really equate to what he's going to do at his position. You know, the guys, you know, does it matter if a corner can bench 225 25 times? Not necessarily, but we ask him to do it and see him. We get excited when he does certain things in a positive way. The same way I would tell you that, you know, when you look at some of these players, they're asked to do things at pro days that are scripted, that are, you know, pretty laid out for them. They've been practicing it for weeks. And for me personally, I like the idea of let's do it ourselves. Let's put him through some things that are a little more off the cuff, put him in some situations that he wasn't expecting, and then see how he handles those, because that's what the game's really predicated on.
So are the teams wasting their time?
I don't think they're wasting their time. I think pro days have a value in the sense of it gives a young man a chance to demonstrate his skill set. And he can do it for everybody, and historically, people haven't had an issue with guys doing individual workouts for everybody. And the real purpose is to cut down on the number of workouts that a guy has. Certain spots, I agree. You know, you go to a pro day, you watch a DB backpedal. Good. You're going to see all the things that you generally want to see. But specific, and I'd say this, to probably more of a quarterback, you definitely want to have him do the things that you're going to ask him to do and not just generic things that he thinks he's good at.
Ray, you mentioned cornerbacks. How do you feel about your cornerbacks now and that you have in terms of as a position need?
I feel good about who we have on our roster. Every position on our roster, we want to try to drive competition. So it doesn't matter if it's a quarter or a cornerback, whether it's a linebacker or if it's a defensive lineman or if it's an offensive lineman, we want to drive competition to the point where the first guy on the depth chart feels like the guy right behind him is on his heels and the guy right behind him is on his heels. So we're going to constantly look and push to drive the competition on our roster at every position possible.
You said this is not a one-year reclamation project, but how vital is this draft? And ideally, how many starters would you like to come out of this? I mean, probably all of them, but...
Yeah, that'd be a good answer.
Yeah. Immediate impact starters, how many do you think you could grab in this draft? Or would you like?
Again, I think that every draft is important. It's really the lifeblood of every organization. Adding guys to the draft is an interesting piece of the puzzle. Some guys you take because you realize they're not going to be ready right away, but they have a greater upside. Other guys you take with the hopes that they're going to contribute immediately. That being the case, I think that as we look at the draft from our team's perspective, there are guys you're going to want to see contribute right away. There's going to be other guys that we look to redshirt in some sense, as far as we're not looking to throw them out on the field and see what they do right away. We'll have to wait and see who's available. I think there are guys in this draft that will come in and they'll contribute immediately, and they'll be good players in the National Football League. There are other guys that it'll take them a year, maybe even two, to demonstrate what their true capabilities are, and you'll be happy you have them at that point in time. It's just a matter of when you get that guy, how you get him, and what that looks like. The interesting thing about the draft, though, no one cares after you pick them where you picked them. You just got to find the right guys and get them in your system and then use them accordingly.
Signing Burleson and Hawkins altered the way you look at the receivers in this draft?
Not at all. Not at all. Again, we want to drive competition. I've seen teams keep as many as seven. It's not meant to be a knock on anybody else that's on the roster. Our goal is to add as many good football players as we can. And as we continue to add really good football players, our team will be better as a result of it.
Ray, what are your impressions of Khalil Mack, part one? And part two, Mack is likely maybe a top five, top six pick for the second straight year for the Mid-American Conference. Do you see that conference producing better players than maybe in years past?
You know what? The interesting thing, I'll answer it this way. College football is becoming a landscape where the average kid isn't going to the football powerhouse, if you will, to sit on the bench and watch. He wants to go play. So regardless if he was overlooked or people second-guessed him coming out of high school, those players are now willing to go other places to demonstrate their ability to contribute and play football. That's why I think you start to see guys come from alternative conferences that haven't been the powerhouse conferences in the past. As that goes to Khalil Mack, really good football player, explosive. He can rush the passer. He can play in coverage. He can do a little bit of everything. In the general terms, I'd say a physical anomaly for the conference that he plays in. I mean, this guy looks like the real deal. When he got on bigger stages, he demonstrated he could perform. And that's what you want to see. You want to see a guy that has the ability to play on the big stage. And when he got big games, he played big.
The alleged comments that Donald Sterling of the Los Angeles Clippers made. If you're disappointed that those kind of thought processes are still around in professional sports.
I think any time that you have that those comments are made, and again, we'll say allegedly made, it is disappointing. And, you know, that's a different subset. I mean, I've been focused on the draft, but I will say that it's I'm happy that I'm in a situation where we don't have to worry about those comments being made.
How is Brian Hoyer health-wise? How much is he going to be able to do this week? And how comfortable are you with where he is physically, and how does that affect maybe how you address the quarterback position in the draft?
I'm comfortable with him. Again, don't want to really comment about guys' health and who's injured, who's not, where they're at. But he's fine. He'll be fine. And I mean, it's a long way away before we play any football. So I'm excited where Brian is right now.
Ray, talk about the role Jimmy has to play in the meetings. And how involved is he? And do you feel pressure from him that something big happened in this draft?
I don't feel any pressure. I mean, Jimmy's been more than supportive. He is involved. He is in meetings. He comes around. We keep him up to speed as to what we're doing and why we're doing. He's not a guy that applies pressure. He's very supportive. He wants to make sure that we are doing our due diligence in all factors. And inevitably, I would tell you that he's not a guy that's not going to impede the process. He hired me to do a job, and he's going to allow me to do it. And so, to that regard, I'm confident and comfortable with his involvement in any meetings and in anything we're doing. Now, he'll ask 40 million questions, and he'll want to know, and that's okay. He has a right to know, and then even if he didn't want to know, we'd still try to inform him. So he's been more than enjoyable to work with, and so he's been definitely a positive for us.
How much interaction did he have with players visiting?
He had some interaction. He definitely was involved, and we made sure he was involved.
Every visit?
He was involved with certain guys, and we made sure that he had time to spend with certain guys.
Do you have any questions about Clowney's work ethic?
Do I have any questions about it? None. So,
and that's been like the knock on him the last month or so, that his work ethic isn't good.
And again, it's interesting that there's a lot of commentary. And as we get closer to the draft, the more you'll see smoke. There's not a lot, it's not as substantive as people may think it is, but it's interesting to talk about. So is he supremely talented? Yes. Do people wonder, about different pieces of his game? Sure. But, the more you overthink it, the more we can shoot holes in all of these guys. Every single guy in the draft, you could shoot them full of holes and say, this is wrong with him, this is wrong with him, this is wrong. But the reality is you want to take the time to really unearth what can this guy do, how can he help your program, and can this guy be a difference maker? And I think, Jadeveon Clowney can do those things.
How do you think Sammy Watkins could impact your program?
Big. Big. Really big. Ginormous. but, no, he's a good football player. He's explosive. He's got really good hands. He's demonstrated he can run all the routes. He can be productive. So saddle him on the opposite side of Josh Gordon, and wow.
Now, the last week, people shooting holes in him the last week is that he's not 6'2". What's your feeling on wide receivers 6 feet to 6'2", or what have you?
I would contend the same thing. Like I said, the longer this goes, the more you're going to find guys ending up casualties of war for the wrong reasons. I mean, if you just watch the guy play football, different than a lot of wide receivers, and I get that he's not 6'2", 6'4", 6'5", I get that. But he plays the game violently and aggressive, which is kind of a rarity for most wide receivers. You see things in him that aren't standard. So he's a really good player, and he'll be a good player in this league. Moving forward from him, he would be dynamic. So we have to wait and see kind of where he goes.
This is a job you kind of always wanted. Now that the draft is closer, are you energized? How would you describe is it overwhelming with all these people calling, or just
I've definitely worked to get here. I wouldn't say it's overwhelming. It's actually intriguing. It's actually interesting from my perspective that everybody is so juiced about the NFL draft. This is bigger than a lot of sporting events. I mean, nobody's playing anything, but yet and still everybody's fired up to see what happens. So I think it's the intrigue and the mystery around, because it's really a lottery. It's not like they're going to go off the board in a certain order. If we had a chance to look at everybody's draft from before the draft and compare the boards, you'd see that this is much of a – it's beauty in the eye of the beholder. There's 32 different paintings around the NFL of how people put this thing together. And so it's interesting because everybody's fired up about the NFL draft, and rightfully so. This will be Christmas in May.
some teams do mock drafts as part of their process.
I'm sorry, Tony, one more time.
Some teams do their own mock drafts as part of the process. Do you?
Absolutely, and we'll have plenty of time to play mock draft here with the added time this year. But it's good. It gives you some ideas as to what teams may be thinking, and there's ways to structure it and organize it in a way that it's not reality, but it definitely gives you some insight as to how teams could be looking at things a little bit differently than we actually are.
Right.
You're fine.
Evans and Bortles, can you two thoughts on those two?
both good college football players. Evans, obviously the size and the speed is the great intrigue that a lot of people see. When you watch him make plays, he's got ball skills. He jumps up over people. He makes a ton of plays. Bortles, same thing. Oddly enough, probably wasn't as heralded going into the year that everybody didn't know his name. He definitely was a guy that I think that his play demonstrated that he was worthy of being in consideration. The interesting thing about him is that people get really excited because he is a bigger guy, 6'5", he's 230-plus pounds. So people are definitely fired up to see it. Can he be the complete package for what you want. And inevitably for us, it's a product of trying to find the right guy for who fits. So both of those guys are talented players. They really are.
Greg Robinson, Jake Matthews, and if Joe Thomas, obviously being on the roster, might kind of cause you to lean away from picking an offensive tackle number four.
They're really good players. Again, it was funny. We were sitting in the suite at the combine when Greg Robinson ran, and Jimmy turned and was like, "How big was he?" And so you go back and you start reviewing the numbers and the size and the movement and then his play, and very, very interesting prospect as to what he could possibly bring to a franchise. Same thing with Jake Matthews. I mean, his history and pedigree speak for themselves. So the idea of what he can be and what he's going to be in the National Football League moving forward are definitely intriguing. I would tell you again, the same thing. I want to drive competition. Excuse me, got something in my eye. I want to drive competition on the roster. So Joe Thomas is a very good football player. He's been to numerous Pro Bowls. He's been a successful player for a reason. But having players on this roster that Joe looks over and says, "Oh boy, like that guy, that's a real guy right there." That's something good for our franchise and good for our football team. So I think that there's no way I would tell you that those guys aren't interesting players for us as well.
Last question, please.
Say again?
When you did your internal mock draft, how many quarterbacks went in the first round?
How many went in the first round? Yeah. I can't tell you that. That's just,
can you give anything
away? We'll say 16. No.
The misinformation you guys are putting out there.
You know, it's fun. It's good. I will tell you that it's not just one mock draft that you do. So we've run multiple scenarios. In those scenarios, you could have as many as 5 or 6 go. You could have none go. So it just depends upon which mock draft and how people really pick and how people value those players.
Is your board changing at all the last couple of weeks?
You know, that's a dangerous piece of the puzzle. The more boards change and the more people get further away from football and they still think they see these grandioso changes is a dangerous proposition.
Ready to draft today?
Am I ready?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's go. Can we call New York and get it done?
Thanks, everybody.